Hey! Welcome to another episode of Catching the Light. I'm here with my good bud, Warren. It's been a couple months, been a few months. It was fall time, last time you and I were here in the studio. It's gotten a little colder, got some white stuff on the ground. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm a little tired. I just got in from being out of town, and I'm ready for the new year. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Were you expecting the producer to pay you for your travel expenses? It's not going to happen.
Well, I got paid in a comfy chair, so.
Yeah. Things are a little different. We we got a little different backdrop, some new colors.
Yes.
I heard we're in HD TV now. Yes. Or we're HD.
I can see every pore.
Oh, no. You look good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, I thought, you know, we getting back on our time out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's what our show is about. We're always trying to sort of juxtapose what life was like for us out there compared to now. I thought something that we really haven't touched on much is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience like out there in the dating world trying to meet your soulmate?
Well, you understand, it's like that line from Almost Famous when Philip Seymour Hoffman says, yeah, girls are always going to be problems for guys like us. And that girls have always been a problem for me. And this goes all the way back to first grade. I was in love with this girl. And I thought she was just the cutest thing in the world. So I went to the dentist, happened to go to the dentist that day. And after I was done, I had a good checkup. And the dentist said, you can pick any prize out of my toy box that you want. I looked in there and there was this ring. And I remember it was gold looking with a purple gem in the middle. It was probably plastic, you know, now that I think about it. But it was a purple gem in the gold ring. And I saw it and I go, I'm going to give that to this girl I'm in love with, first grade. So I'm 6 years old. And I showed up to school the next day. And we had every class was in the same room. And there she was. And it was just, ring was just burning a hole in my pocket. Like I was so ready to give her this ring. I'm waiting for my moment. And then the bell rang, and everyone got sent to gym or lunch, whatever. And she just happened to be the last one out the door. It was as if God had just orchestrated it perfect, like for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here you go, kid. I'm going to give you your shot. I'm going to make you two the last two out of the room.
You're going to have some privacy here.
Yes.
You're going to have a moment.
Yes. And I walked up to her, and I took out the ring, and I asked her if she would wear this ring and be my girlfriend. And she screamed in horror and ran around the room. And I chased her with it. Like, love me! You know, and I feel like...
Was the door open?
Door was open.
So she didn't leave?
No, but she... Because we're in first grade, she didn't have the smarts to run outside of a circle. But she... It was basically the two of us just chasing
her. You hadn't done geometry yet. You hadn't mastered...
Right.
Okay.
And the reason I bring her up is because I feel like that was basically a scrambled version of every relationship I've had since. And, I mean, L.A. was no different. I remember the first... See, I grew up with the Beach Boys song California Girls, or if you're from the 80s like us, David Lee Roth's version. And I thought that California Girls were all the things that song described.
Well, he wanted them all to be like them.
But right? Yeah, but there are none. Like, they're all from somewhere else.
Right.
I wish they could all be
California girls. They're all like, transplants.
I dated an Iowa girl, and I dated an Arizona girl. I never met a California girl.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, what type of person is going out to Los Angeles? So you're not getting a sort of a normal cross-section of the Iowa girls, or the girls from Denver, or the girls from Miami. You're getting a certain type. A certain flavor.
That's true, and they're just as flighty and flaky as us or anyone like us. I remember I tried because it was so hard to meet people. I met a girl on one of those dating sites, Match.com or Yahoo Personals or something. And I remember
thanks for admitting that, by the way.
Well,
everyone does.
Well, remember I was working at the lesbian bar, and I didn't, you know, I'm not fishing in the best pond at that point. So I was like, I got to meet someone somewhere, and it's not going to be at work, which is still my preference in all the tough places to meet somebody. I think work is still my favorite, but I was working at the wrong place. So,
although it can cause problems later.
Yeah, if it goes afoul. This girl picked me because I was, and this here's an LA-ism for you, I was geographically desirable.
She said that?
It was, yes, and it was even in her profile. She said, I'm looking for someone geographically desirable. and apparently that was me. Turns out that's not enough to sustain a relationship. But and I dated an exotic dancer, and for about a month, and it come to find out it was the month that her boyfriend was out of town.
Mm.
And then it was over when he got back into town. You'd think with exotic dancing that you'd have a moral fiber that would be stronger than that.
You would think so.
But I turns out that it was almost as if her morals could be bought and sold and traded without much thought.
It's funny that it's funny that you said that, because so she saw that there was going to be a lull in her life for her romantic life for a month.
Yes.
Right? Couldn't go 30 days without having something.
Right.
Someone to cuddle with. So you come off the bench, you become that thing, you know, until you're disposed of later. My mother said a long time ago, and I was young when she said this, she said, women, they're hanging onto a branch, you know, and they're swinging around. And they're not going to let go of that branch until they've got their grasp, they get onto another branch. And then they'll let go. But as long as they've got a secure hold on something, And they're swinging, then it's okay.
Your mom said that?
My mom said
Didn't Philip Seymour Hoffman say that in Mission Impossible 3?
My mom is such a liar. she takes credit for everything.
I think he said that. He was trying to get under Tom Cruise's skin, and he was like, oh, because I think he was trying to convince him that he had his. It was either that or maybe it was.
What year did that come out? Was that 2000? I'd rather figure out.
Like 2005, I think.
Okay.
But if your mom said it first, then she may be. Got her ideas stolen by someone who went to LA and wrote that script.
Right.
Because I certainly met those people who swore up and down that they got their great ideas stolen by somebody.
But what a cynical thing, whether she hatched that notion herself or she borrowed it. What a cynical thing to think and say.
That's terrible. And luckily, the girl I met her at work. The girl I ended up marrying, I met at work. And she was in LA for 17 years at the time. She went to acting school. She had the acting bug. But she was ready for a change. I mean, like everybody, I think it eventually comes to realize in that town, if you don't make it big, there's only so much time you really want to spend there if you're not really making a real break in that industry.
Right.
So I came along at the right time. I came along wanting to make a change too. And she's met me and she's like, I want to make a change. And I was like, oh yeah, but I'm talking about moving back east and really far away from
here. Yeah, a wholesale change.
And she said, I'm in. You know, deal me in.
For everyone else out there, a change, a big change, is like leaving a restaurant and putting an end to the dream of wanting to be an actor and instead deciding to maybe go behind the camera. You know, like, oh, now I'm going to try to go be a producer. I'm going to go write something. I'm going to get like a regular job. But, I mean, you and I, we were out there for almost 15 years.
I mean, you certainly longer than me.
Yeah.
But as far as relationship, I mean, I imagine I would love to hear your perspective, because from a distance, you seem like someone who relationships were a breeze for. Because for me, I felt like I was always just kind of struggling to meet somebody. You, I always looked at kind of like a bowl of M&Ms at a Christmas party. You're going to get snatched up, like you're going to be like, that's a popular dish. And I feel like just putting you out there, that's a sure thing. But is it different? Did you actually struggle or wrestle with it as much as I did, and you made it look easy, or
you were there when I was going through. So I mean, I went through the ringer a few times myself. I mean,
you met the California flavor the one time where it's like,
yeah. So you know, it's funny. I think that because LA, you know, we talked about this earlier, because it attracts a certain type of person,
mm-hmm.
and guys too. I mean, I've always thought that the stereotype that the girl is the one that she's up in the tower and she wants to be rescued, and she's got this notion, this fairy tale notion that, you know, she wants to be, you know, take care of, and the music is playing and it's cinematic and it's beautiful. I feel like I harbored those notions, you know, 23, 24 years old. When I went out to LA, all the movies that I watched when I was a kid informed this ideal that I had, that it was going to be like that. It was going to be like Jerry Maguire. I'm going to be running through an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, the music's going to be playing, and you know, you complete me, and it took a few bad relationships. It took falling down a couple times to realize that it's unrealistic.
How did you even meet people, though? You like
the restaurant, acting class.
Okay,
you know, and L.A. is it's such a it's a bunch of children, really. I mean, us, we're included in that. I mean, you just, no one really ever grows up. So you're kind of living in like this little snow globe, and you know, it's hard. Especially, it's got to be hard for women who are trying to meet a guy, and he's 36, but he really has the mentality of a 24-year-old, and he doesn't have any income, and he has no insurance, and he doesn't own a house, and he's, you know, he's underwater. That's hard.
That's why I wasn't looking for anybody. That's the times when I wasn't looking for anybody. I thought, well, this is just the worst time to have been in a relationship. And I kind of figured that girls would have been the same way, but there are people in LA trying to find love.
Sure, sure. But and like, I think because for the reasons that I talked about, I think they, if you want to be an actor or a musician, you, I think you have to, don't you, subscribe to some of those beautiful notions, those, you know, living up in the ether. I mean, don't you on some level have to believe in that stuff? I mean, I don't think anyone who wants to be an actor just wants to, I want to go read lines and get paid. You know, I don't think anyone looks at it sort of systematically like that. I think it's tapping into something.
Well, my relationships were a big waste in my 20s because, like, as you said, there's kind of no point when you're that much of a wreck, when you have no real prospects.
Right.
What's the point of getting involved with that person?
Right.
I didn't meet my future wife until I was in my 30s, as was she. And I think we were both like, we had enough.
And you're probably both better for it, too, because now you're formed. Now you're formed.
Yeah.
You know what you like and what you don't like and who you are.
Well, if I had gotten married every time I fell in love, this would have been my fourth wife.
Right.
So, I'm glad it turned out the way it did.
Would I have been your second or third?
You're probably second and
it's
third.
Okay.
You probably
it's
would okay. have been both. Yeah. I mean, the girl that you dated that I think back the most on is saying there's a California girl there was the one where you met her and it was like you could complete each other's sentences and stare at each other's eyes and listen to the music. And I remember you said, like, we were just sitting there listening to music and she just started crying just at the beauty of the moment of like a lit candle and some good music playing. And I remember, and that person was a butterfly that was just kind of never really landed in one spot very long. And
you probably knew something was up when I remember you and I think we were living together at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home and said, Warren, do you believe in past lives?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a product. I mean, I believe this. I think that I probably, for the rest of my life, will never come across someone like that again. And I don't think it's because we're older now. Because quite honestly, I think those same people in LA still have those same notions, and I think they still think like that. I think they still walk, you know, 6 feet off the ground.
That particular girl I met, I can't remember, it was an article I read online that said, that described that person perfectly and said it was manic pixie girl. And it was like the girl in 500 Days of Summer. That there's this quality where you meet them and they sort of make you feel alive and young and like the whole world is this infinite place of possibility and anything can happen on any given day.
Yeah, it's Natalie Portman from Garden State.
Yes.
She just pops up, even though she knows you're weird, you know, she loves you for it.
Yeah, because she's weird. And
she's weird too, right. And she
embraces the weirdness.
She's this bomb for you, and she picks you up and makes you a better version of you. And she, even though everybody else that you've ever met sees something else, they see you, they see your faults first, she sees right through it.
Yep.
And she can see into your soul right from the get-go, just because you just bumped into her on the street.
Yep.
She gets it just like that.
And probably believes in love at first sight, and probably believes in old souls and past lives and energies. And
well, that exists.
Sorry. Yeah. So.
We've established that.
Silly.
Past lives exist, yeah.
Silly me.
Yeah.
But you dated one of them.
Yeah.
And I always thought I wanted to. And then I saw you go through it, and I remember thinking, I never want that for me ever. But I really thought it did, because Natalie Portman's character in Garden State and Zoe
Deschanel
in 500 Days, I always saw them and go, wow, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
And yet the guys attached to them are always tortured there, and they never feel good about, in the end, they never feel good about themselves,
right,
or about their relationship, but in the beginning never felt more alive,
right.
And I feel like you described it that way at first, and then it was then I saw the torture phase where you just become one other thing that was in their wake, you know, because now they have to move on to the next adventure.
Yeah.
You're no longer an adventure anymore.
And the other thing about LA, too, is, and maybe this is more prevalent than I realized. We spent most of our 20s and most of our 30s in Los Angeles, so I guess this is all we know as a younger adult. Mm-hmm. But I it was a lesson for me in what it means to be 30 without a career. You know, when we first started going out at 25, so what do? I would announce it like from the mountaintops. I'm an actor, right. You know, musician, writer. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then by about 32, 33, so what do? I'm a pre-law student, you know, pre-law.
I'm in school.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm in school. I'm studying. Right. And then pray to God that they don't ask four or five more questions, because the fifth or sixth basically comes back to, oh, you're still working at a restaurant.
Right.
Oh, one of those.
You're in school. Wait a second. How old are you? Like that's,
yeah. Right.
Oh God.
Right. And it's hard because, you know, again, if you're a guy, I mean, I think some of this really is sort of gender specific. If you're an attractive woman and you're in LA, and if you're in LA and you're a woman and you're trying to be an actor, then probably you were the creme de la creme from wherever you came from. Mm-hmm. So we all have expiration dates. I mean, it's sad, but you know, we do. You know, you could be 27, 28, 29, and again, you grab on to another branch, and that other branch, I mean, I had an ex-girlfriend who, her next branch was a 64-year-old producer, but he had a house, he had two houses, and he traveled a lot, and he had a nice car, and I was still putting on an apron.
That happened to me. I was bartending, dating this girl, beautiful girl, liked her a lot, and then she had an opportunity to date the guy who produced, like, Total Recall. Or something, like a couple sci-fi big movies. And she was kind of looking at me, and the way she explained dumping me for the situation was kind of like, can you blame me? I mean, you know, I should probably take advantage of this opportunity. Kind of that, like, an opportunistic thing. And I totally, I mean, I hated the way that felt, but I felt like, how am I ever going to have a relationship in this town if that's what I'm going up against?
You know what would have been really, really, really horrific for you is if she said that, and then she started running around the room in circles. That would have been hard.
No.
Traumatic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would have made it all come full circle. Don't mind the pun.
Yeah.
We probably should get to
movie quotes. Yeah, you know what it's time for?
It's my favorite.
It's time for movie quotes, and I got to tell you, I got to set this up a little differently today. Before, we would have my cute niece, Jackie,
we'd
have her read the quotes, and it was recorded.
Yes.
Well, she's here now. And she's in the studio with us, and I know she's dying to read these quotes. So, this is real time now, so I don't know how this is going to go.
She's a good sport.
I have all the faith in the world in her. I think she's going to do a wonderful job.
This is my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
This right here. No pressure.
Yeah. So why don't we want to go back and forth? We'll do three quotes.
Absolutely.
All right. You start, Jackie. You decide whether you want to do one for him or one for me.
The topic says Ray's quotes to Warren.
Okay, so this one's for you, bud.
Okay.
If he dies, he dies.
Okay, Rocky IV.
Very. She changed the inflection on that one. She did the line a little differently.
She sure did.
Yeah.
Whew.
All right, one for me, one nothing.
Well, no, I got it right, though.
Yeah.
One for me.
No, I mean now one quote for me.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. You got your point.
Okay, I thought you were saying you get a point for me knowing the quote. Alright.
No.
Alright.
Bye bye, California. Hello, new coast. My west coast. Costa Deluxe. Lutherville. Marina Deluxe. Otisburg. Otisburg.
That's Gene Hackman in Superman.
Excellent.
Very good. Oh, he was diabolical in that, wasn't he?
he's great.
1-1.
Oh, Zuli, you nut. Now, come on. I want to talk to Dana.
Bill Murray, Ghostbusters.
2-1.
So the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles, then your hands at the wrists, next your nose. Next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right. Your ears you keep.
There's more to that one. Did it get... Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that what followed probably illuminated what movie that was from, because I'm a little lost. Your ears you keep.
Do you need it again?
Jackie, could you say it one more time real quick?
Yeah, the whole thing?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
To the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles, then your hands at the wrists, next your nose, next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right, your ears, your keep.
Mr. Potato Head the movie? I don't know.
And I'll tell you why. So that every babe and child can, you can hear their shriek of, they'll think you're, I'll leave you a freak wallowing in misery with your perfect ears, with their cries and ringing in your perfect ears. It's the Dread Pirate Roberts and Princess Bride. He's in bed and he's about to get killed
I know I'm in the minority. I am in the minority here, but I hate that movie.
What?
I saw it one time.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Why do you hate it?
I don't know. It didn't.
Everyone loves Princess Bride.
I know. It didn't touch me the way it touched everybody else.
Was it a fair movie to?
Yes, it's definitely fair.
But you don't like it.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. What's the one guy? What's his name?
I'm in.
You killed
Montoya.
My dad. Yeah. Now prepare to. That was the famous quote, right?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Inigo Montoya.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Mandy Patinkin. Yeah. Andre the Giant was in it.
I know. Billy Crystal. All right. Okay, so 2-1.
Yeah. Moles and trolls. Work. We never see the light of day.
You're going to come at me with real genius? You're going to throw real genius at me? Are you kidding? I know. I thought I wasn't allowed to use that. I'm more generous with this game,
I guess.
I've got a generous one coming for you. At some other time, because we burned through them.
One more? Is it one more, Jackie? What's this?
How many have we done for each person?
So you did two and you did two.
We both did two?
Yeah. And this is... This one is three and this one is two and I'm doing the third one.
Right? Okay, so we have one more. Okay, last one,
so
right?
This is the last one.
Yep.
Booty, this is your wake-up call, man. I'm an FBI agent.
Okay, that was a gift. Really? Point Break. Okay. All right. Did you call him Booty?
It says B-O and then the slash D-E-E.
Okay, yeah. I've been changing the spelling for certain, because I wanted to say it a certain way. Yeah. Thanks, Jackie. Good job.
Yes, thank you so much.
We're going to get Warren next time. Next time, try to maybe change a couple things.
In my favor next time?
I think I've asked you this before. Yeah. Now post-LA, right? You're now bathing in domesticity.
I'm a house cat now, man.
Yeah. I mean, are there moments where you feel so safe within the confines of, the chaos is gone, and, you're mowing a lawn or, you're doing some dishes, but... You know what? The world isn't exploding outside. You know, you're not going to go and get hit over the back of the head tomorrow.
Here's what gives me peace about the whole leaving LA thing and being a common ordinary schlub. Because I think I maybe said to you one time before, it's like the end of Goodfellas when he's like, now I can't even get good tomato sauce. It's like ketchup, and he's like, I get egg noodles delivered. He's like, that's how I feel. But if there's anything that gives me...
Well, he was in witness protection.
Yes.
You're likening your marriage to witness protection.
Hear me out. The reason why I am more and more at peace with just being a common, ordinary schlub, away from all the action, away from all that stuff, is because... I'll give you a great example. I had a student come up to me the other day who hadn't ever heard the song Hotel California. All right. Which tells me that even if I had in L.A. been as successful as the Eagles, writing one of the most iconic, greatest rock songs of all time, it wouldn't have made a bit of difference to anybody alive right now, other than the old people. So when the old people are gone, there's this whole generation that will not know Hotel California. To me, that's one of the highest watermarks of creativity. And the student, incidentally, didn't know. If the student didn't know that, you can imagine what else... this person
sure
know. Okay,
sure.
That gives me a lot of peace to know that it's really not that big a deal. We made it out to be a huge deal. We made it out to be like if we were going to be successful, that it was going to be so validating. And that was my glimpse into. I don't think that it would have been necessary. I think we would have still wanted more. It's like Springsteen says,
you get a taste of it,
I think we thought it was going to be the answer to everything, but Springsteen says, poor man want to be rich, rich man want to be king. And it's like, I have a feeling that even if we had gotten to the first part, we would have wanted the second part, and then more. Yeah. And we would have kept redefining, now what's success?
Yep.
Well, now success is I get a part in a movie. Now success is the movie makes $50 million. Now success is, now I want an Oscar. Now I want, I don't know if there was an end to it. And at the end of the day, I was hoping to leave a mark. And these are people, the people who are alive today, the young people, have no idea about the marks that were left before. They have a vague idea. I mean, they've heard of the Beatles. Good for you. You know, like, but all the rest of it is just a wash to them. And
they've heard of the Beatles, but they haven't heard of Oasis. Right. And Oasis was kind of important to us.
Sure. But I mean, can you imagine if you had John Carpenter's career, someone who I know that you like as a director, if you had, I guarantee you, if I went back to school and said, raise your hand if you know who Kurt Russell is, that nobody is going to raise their hand. Nobody raised their hand. I said, do you know who Steve Martin is? Because they asked me about who else did you meet in L.A. and named me the most famous person. And I said, well, probably the most famous person was Michael Douglas. Crickets. And then I said, Steve Martin? Crickets.
You know what would have been really funny? Is if you said, Michael Douglas? Crickets. And you go, Kirk Douglas? Yay! Wouldn't that have been a weird moment?
Yeah, that would have been strange. I mean, that's my point. So I actually feel okay, like that. I feel like, you know, there was probably little I was going to do that was going to be, because I wanted to be as big as Bono, and then I found out they don't know who Bono was, and that. So now
is this the cognitive dissonance that we do, in order, so that we could rest our heads on our pillows at night and sleep soundly? I mean, I sometimes have these same perspectives. You know, I'll say to myself, I probably would end up getting in trouble for smashing up a hotel room. Who wants that? You know, who wants that on their criminal record? I probably would have been different things that I've avoided that fame probably would have ushered into my life. I do that. I try to justify the choices that I've made. And I don't know. Sometimes I try to step outside that and say, yeah, come on. You know, you really, you know, if I was dangling it in front of you right now, if I was dangling it here, you'd still reach for it, wouldn't you? You know, the carrot of fame, wouldn't you still? And I guess I would. But, you know, at the end of our lives, I bet in so many ways, in ways that are imperceptible that we probably will never appreciate, maybe things turned out for the better. You know,
I hope. I mean, that's Joe Walsh from the Eagles said, when you're living in it, life seems like it's this crazy, chaotic, tumultuous, maddening storm. But at the end of your life, you look back and it'll look like a finely crafted novel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm really hoping.
The trajectory isn't finished yet.
Right.
You know, we're still in the narrative. And we both met someone that, you know, we wouldn't have otherwise.
Right.
And they're both fantastic.
That the path we're on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think we probably should wrap this up for today.
Don't you tell me what to do. Don't you tell me what to do. Ever.
That's the old stuff.
Ever. Thanks for flying in today, man.
You're
coming next month, right?
Yeah.
The weather will be better. It'll start. Wait, where are you? No, no. Not for a while. Not for months. But I'm trying to sell it here. But we'll see you next month. Thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, sure. Sure. It's fun.
Jackie, thanks for coming to the studio today.
You're welcome, I guess.
She said, you're welcome, I guess. I hope our audience feels more enthusiastic than that.
I know.
I wanted to mention, too, that if anyone is watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to us. And definitely check us out on iTunes. And if you have any comments or, you know, anything that you want to say at all on either forum, please do that. And we'll see you next time. This has been Catching the Light with Ray and Warren.